13 and 14.
All right, you have a question in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. We can look at that real quickly.
Is that like referring to like the meat of the word?
Yes, it is. You're exactly right. Strong meat there is dealing with the meat of the word.
And full age would be a Christian who's been like in the faith 15, 20 years, somebody.
Yeah, somebody who, it's not just that they've been a long time, but they're beginning to really learn how to read Bible.
You
got to
go turn that
thing
on the conference center.
Does it turn green?
It always does.
All right, well, we're in 2 Corinthians. Now, last night it wasn't even loud. That was...
it didn't even register on the thing.
That's because he had halfway down his tie.
I can move it down a little. There we go. All right, 2 Corinthians 4. And last week we had looked at verse 13. We'd ended there. And we're going to be in verse 14. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through this quickly to get to chapter 5. And then I'm going to backtrack and come back again. Because I want to weave Romans chapter 8 into this. Okay, so we're going to look at it. In verse 14... it says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. I saw a blonde looking around. All right, so.
I can see the notes over there.
Yes, no matter what I say, either Debbie or Tanya, one or the other of them will be looking at the last, what verse was that? You know, I could be waving placards. It won't matter. One of the two will ask. All right.
If it makes her feel any better.
Yes. All right. So, he's talking about raising up the Lord Jesus. And then he'll raise up us with you. And there's no doubt that's talking about the rapture. Because when he raised up the Lord Jesus, he'll raise us up with you. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace... Hey, come on in, folks. We're just in time. We just got started, 2 Corinthians 4.
No.
Bring your drink with you.
Yes. Yeah. Nick's live tonight. He's a live wire. I'm just telling you.
He's on it.
Yeah, you better be real careful.
You should have seen at lunch. There was no hope for me at all.
Yeah. All right, so we're in 2 Corinthians 4. We read 14 and 15. I was just telling them, we're going to go through these real quickly, and then I'm going to go back and weave Romans 8 through it. Okay? So, it says, verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now, redound just, it's to go out all over the place. Okay?
Kind of like renowned.
So, renowned, rebound, redound. All right? Redound means just all over, it's being said. Okay? All right?
I was good until you put all three of them out.
All right. It's just something being said all over. And again, it's this idea, for all things for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And of course, there's one of the great verses on why to give thanks to God. He's given grace to you. And you know, and there's times you just rejoicing over what God's done for you.
Yes,
and this
sir.
It brings great glory to God.
That's right.
All right. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now there's a great verse, this idea that, you know, who hasn't suffered in the outward man and stuff going on, but it's knowing that inward man's renewed. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Like, think of Paul's life, and that's just a moment. Okay? But you know what the thing is again? You just go back. When you were starting the third grade, if somebody told you it's going to be 10 months before you got out of there, that was forever.
I was an adult. They said it was
going to
be 12 months to get out of a drinking program.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's a good example, you know. But it just seemed like forever. And, you know, and by the time October came and you were in the third grade, it seemed like your whole world was just the third grade. That's all you'd ever done and such. You know, and it just, and but yet, that was just a blink in time now when you look back at it. Just a tiny blink in time that you were there. And, you know, I remember getting off the school bus my last day in high school. Getting off the school bus to realize I'd never do it again. You know? And up until that point, I'd just done it over and over and over and over. For me, an extra year over most people. But over and over and over. And, you know, getting off that school bus. But now that's just a long, distant memory. Something gone by. So, when you think, you know, and I'll say this a lot. There's close to, it takes about 30 years to live a billion seconds. Okay? It takes about 30 years to live a billion seconds. And Dick's coming up to where he's lived about 3 billion seconds. 3 billion. And now think of 3 billion years. Okay? Think of a trillion years. You know, 1,000 times that. And how much will this time here really mean?
Nothing.
It's that light of flicks. It's just a moment. It's just this little bit of time. And it's amazing how they will, you know, sacrifice everything for that. You know, just throw it all out. There was a Twilight Zone years ago. For those of you old enough to remember the Twilight Zone or sick enough to watch the reruns. All right? But they had some guys blast off 3-4 astronauts or something. They were supposed to be going to some other planet, and they were going to put them all to sleep because they knew they'd be gone for like 100 years before they got on this other planet. And the next thing you know, they wake up, there's a crash, they're in the middle of a desert, all their supplies are ruined, there's just a teeny bit of water left. And, you know, they're trekking out of there, and they're realizing, man, we're not going to live. The sun's just beating down on them and such. And the one plots to kill the others. And slowly he does. He kills them all. He's justifying it because it's only this little bit of water. And he steps over the next thing, and there's a highway. They're in Las Vegas, in Nevada. And the thing just crashed the very day that they left. And he's just killed everybody. You know, and so, you know, for that short period of time, him losing the whole sense of what's going on, you know, he's ruined everything. And, you know, how many people, when they close their eyes for the last time, are going to look around and realize, what, I squandered my life.
Is that something?
I squandered my life. There I had it, and I've completely squandered. What a mess I have made. I have ruined this thing. Look what I could have done with this, and look what I have done. So Paul says, you know, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why Paul said, I glory in tribulation. Bring it on, Geronimo. I can handle it, you know. I can take it.
Remember that story.
Bill Randall's son, Kenny.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny really has got the best Christian testimony of any of Bill Randall's kids. And I... But there was one time he took off to Montana to be with his brother, who was pastoring a church there. And he got real mad at his brother. So I'm going to go drinking. I'm not going to live as a Christian anymore or whatever else. And so Billy's looking for him all around town because Butte, Montana is one of the roughest towns anywhere. And sure enough, he sees his motorcycle parked in front of an Indian bar, which is just like the worst no-no in the world for a white man to walk into an Indian bar. And he goes in there. And Kenny's drinking with the Indians. They're loving him. And he said, yeah, I sat up at the bar and they started catcalling me. So I said, come on, bring it on, Geronimo. It was just Kenny, you know. So, you know, after a while, squaring it off, fist fights, that kind of thing. He's a pretty good guy. But Kenny today has got one of the best Christian testimonies and serves the Lord, never misses church. Yeah, you know, he was just somebody living a false profession, so he wasn't living right. And, finally got the real thing. So bring it on, Geronimo. But that was Paul's thing. Hey, bring on all bring on all this weight. It's going to build something far better for me. Verse 18, well, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay, and you know, part of adulthood is looking at every situation and looking at it through different eyes than a child looks at it. You know, and you see things totally different than they do. And that's part of Christian maturity, is realizing where, you know, the things I see, I'm disappointed right now. I thought the check was going to come in the mail. I get a letter instead. We're not qualified. You know, whatever it is. Who hasn't been through that kind of thing before? You know, you're expecting this, you're expecting that. But you realize, nope, I'm putting my vision on the temporal. That's a mistake. I need to be looking at the things that are not seen here. And after a while, you know, there's that song, Still Guided by the Unseen Hand. You know this? Still guided by it. That hand, I can't see it, but it's done a far better job of guiding me than anything I've ever been able to see before. Then it says in chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, the body you're in right now, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Okay? Now, thing is, it ain't a pretty thing watching that body dissolve. You know, I'm only 59, but I'm telling you. You know, the other day they were talking about pulling one of my teeth at the dentist's office, said he can't save it anymore. So I just went to tell Ruth Ann, you know, I said, hey, when I come to bed that night, I won't be everything I was at 20 or something like that. And but those women took it a lot more intimate. Oh, they're kind of looking out there, looking at me. You know, and well, you know, but you know, it's that thing. This earthly house is dissolved. You know, it's.
How do you get it? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Stupid. How do you get the, like? Because for me, if I read that, I would think it was a tabernacle, a church, or something. How do you get that? That's the human body.
Okay, Jody asked the question. How do I get that? That's the human body. All right, you're going to get it a few places. You're going to get it in 1 Peter, where he talks about, for the Lord has shown me that I must set apart this tabernacle. And there he's clearly talking about where the Lord tells him he's going to die. Okay, so there's one place. I'm trying to think of another place where the body...
2 Peter?
Is it 2 Peter 1? All right, turn to 2 Peter 1. I think it's 2 Peter 1. Let's turn there real quick.
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to ask Pastor. Them new Bibles that we got from Shankles, they don't have any cross references in them?
No, that's, yeah.
They don't even have red lettering.
It's better people.
I don't have red lettering.
I know, I don't.
I gotta tell you that much.
All right, it is 2 Peter here.
2 Peter 2?
2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. That's at the end of John, when he's telling them, Peter, you know, the others will lead you, and you know, kind of death you're going to lead. So the Lord showed him. So there's one of the places you'd get that, okay? That was a good question, though, Jody. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5. Because, again, if one person doesn't get it and ask, usually I found that there's one or two other people who should have asked. All right.
So that's also in John.
But now, at the end of John, doesn't use the word tabernacle, but the Lord clearly shows Peter, right. All right. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So being clothed, we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Thank you, Miss Jody. Being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now there, again, is a reference to the rapture. With that idea, we're waiting to be clothed upon from above. Not unclothed, where you lose this body just, but clothed upon. Now, I have people, and we're about to backtrack and go back to Romans 8 to go through this and weave this through again. But a lot of people ask me about the body they have now and the body that's coming. They're two distinctly different bodies. One will clothe over the other. That's what this says here. It's not that you'll be unclothed. The day may come here, might be tomorrow, it won't be 10 years from now, we'll bury Dick Bojack.
Sure.
Okay? That day will come. That body, now right now he don't think a lot of it. Okay? It can't unscrew light bulbs in his house anymore. You know, there's can't do it. But the Lord will resurrect that body about like he was at 33.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're good, Dick.
About like he was at 33. But then he'll clothe that body over with another one. That's two bodies.
Celestial is that one?
Yeah, that one there is the body made like unto the Lord's body. It's that outer body that everyone will have an outer body of a man. The man, the Lord Jesus Christ, just will look like him. But you'll have that inward body that's yours. Sharon will look like she did at 33, okay? Jennifer, are you 33? There you are. Take a snapshot.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
Oh, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I think it's a thinner version.
Thinner version, yeah. I think you'll have fat.
Why do we want us all look the same, though? Or won't we look the same when we walk up
to the... Here's the point. Remember when Jesus Christ was on the road to Emmaus?
Yeah.
And they talked to him and they didn't recognize him. But then when he broke bread, their eyes were open and they did recognize him. So you'll have a body similar to that. One person will look at it and they just all they see is Jesus Christ. Then Chris will walk up. Hey, Jody, how's it going? Good to see you. You know? And he'll see exactly as you are.
Is he actually going to go on his way?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, there is no marriage in heaven. Does he get to go on his way?
I'll tell you this. He'll love you then a lot more than he does now.
Yeah, that's true.
I love my wife dearly, but I'll love her.